now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Judith Quoba. Judith lives in Germany. She has a unique perspective on what's going on in the EU and in Germany in particular. She's quite well-read. She's quite knowledgeable about a variety of issues. So without any further ado, Judith Quoba, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me. I can't believe I'm here.
Well, thank you for coming on. And what I wanted to talk to you about, Judith, is your unique perspective. You were born in a time when Germany had undergone the horrors of occupation, the Soviet Red Army moving in from the east, and they were allowed to move in from the east. They could easily have been stopped. They could easily have been short-circuited. And then the partition of the different zones, and then West Germany becomes a bulwark for NATO, all the espionage, all the counter-spy stuff. And then fast forward to 1990, I happened to be in Germany a year after the reunification between East and West. I was there when Germany won the World Cup. That was nice. And then we have the whole melding between East and West after the Easterners had gone through 40 plus years of Eastern Bolshevik communist indoctrination, power outages, work shortages. They just didn't have the same work ethic, even the same mindset as many people in the West. And then now, fast forward to the current time, we have this unlimited immigration. We have life under Angela Merkel. So if you don't mind, Judith, please give our listeners and our viewers an idea of what it's like growing up in that dynamic, the reunification, and then bringing it up to the present time. And as a German, what you've observed, what's happened to your cultural identity, what's happened to your nation, what's happened to Europe in general?
Well, the reunification, I have to say, I'm just talking about my little circle, because not what the media was writing, so on and so forth, because that is actually the only thing that I can really talk about. What my circle, what they were talking about, how they were feeling, and they were not too crazy about it. The general stance was, oh, guys, that is going to be costly. And yes, it was. They tried to portray in the media that no problem, we can pay that just like that, the entire reunification thing. But it turned out that they plundered the retirement access. It's not that you do not get retirement payments in Germany. Yes, you do, but they plundered that pretty much for that issue. And so in a larger groups were not too crazy about it. But you know how it is, they did it. And then of course, with the work ethics, a lot of East Germans came to West Germany. They didn't want to wait for everything to develop and to pick up. But I have to say they did a pretty good job. Not in the very beginning, but they picked up very quickly that this is no longer, okay, yeah, we do not have this and that tool is missing. Okay, it will arrive here in a week or two. So yeah, we will just sit around here for 8 hours. We get paid anyway. Yeah, that was over. But they picked up pretty quickly, I have to say that. I didn't have the feeling that it took them too long.
Now, how about the the cultural, if you will, standpoint, did they seem much different after 40 plus years of communist ideology? You're all Germans after all, and you have that historical background. What was it like interacting, if you did interact with them on a regular basis?
I did have interactions on a personal level pretty early on. And I have to say, they didn't feel strange to me. Yes, there were certain little things here and there where you could tell, yeah, okay, that is the result of living in East Germany for a couple of years. But in general, I didn't have the feeling that is a totally different country. Never occurred to me like that.
For so long during the so-called Cold War, Judith, West Germany, Berlin, was seen as a bulwark for NATO to keep out the godless communists, to be kind of like the cork in the bottle, if you will. And what we've seen is so much of the American culture has been transferred to Germany through the servicemen, through all the treaties and all of that. And then you overlay on top of that the whole concept of the EU. What's it like from a German perspective, essentially living under American occupation / British / French for all that time? And then on top of that, we have the EU and what it has become today.
Yeah. Immediately after the war, what happened was what I call the American Holocaust. There is a very good documentary. I don't know if it's still available on YouTube, but it is called Hellstorm. And that gives you a totally new perspective of what really went on in Germany, what the Allies did, our so-called liberators, how they butchered the civil population after the World War, and then what Eisenhower did, Rheinwiesen, yeah? Not even a concentration camp. They were just sitting there in the mud, in the rain. Nothing, no toilet, no roof over your head, nothing. They died by the thousands. And that was ordered by Eisenhower. So after that, then Germany became this, as you said, this buffer zone against the Soviet Union. And yeah, to me, it felt really strange. I remember I had part of my family was living in Berlin, West Berlin. And when we went to visit them, we had to drive through a huge part of East Germany. And that always felt very dark, thick. The entire energy was very, very weird. But yeah, okay, that was how it was to get there. And I forgot the last part of your question, I'm sorry.
How the EU has then been superimposed on top of all those years of American occupation. And very good point about the annihilation of the Germans. There's a great book, Crimes and Mercies, talks about from May 1945 to 1950, at least 15 million Germans were killed, starved, or murdered by the Soviet Red Army as well as by the Western powers. And it was not the first time, because after World War I, when they gave so much of Alsace-Lorraine to France, when they gave parts of Eastern Germany to what became Czechoslovakia and Poland, the Germans had legitimate grievances. Their country was chopped up into pieces, and then they were made to be the scapegoats of World War I. On top of that, you had the Royal Navy blockade, the starvation of millions of Germans in the interwar years. So the Germans are one of the most scapegoated, demonized people in all of history. completely undeserved. So thank you for pointing that out. But then you have the EU on top of that, and the conformity of having to adhere to all these policies, particularly the immigration policies and everything else. Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, when that started, I was very little at that time. And I guess most of the listeners know that it started with the Bilderberg Group, and they had this idea for the EU, and then it was implemented step by step. First of all, it started out as a economic union. And then later on you had the full-blown EU. But how it was presented to the population was, you know what, guys? We had these two horrible wars. We need to make sure that that never happens in Europe again. So, and that was what my parents bought into, that narrative. That is how they presented it to me. And if you are like 5, 6, you know, you don't really question that. Although I have to say, I always had a feeling as a little girl that I'm misplaced here. I wasn't meant to be here. But that was just a general feeling, you know, as if I came down the cosmic highway, took a wrong exit, and then bang, Earth. So I knew early on everything is wrong here. That was my underlying feeling. But it was not that at that age I questioned every little detail. You know what I mean?
Another issue that is easily glossed over, Judith, is the mass terror bombings of the American and British Air Forces, RAF Bomber Command, the American 8th and 15th Air Forces, just routinely, even the smallest German dorfs, smallest villages and towns with no strategic value were just bombed mercilessly. And then you have the Morgenthau Plan, where whether it was the Rothschilds dreamed it up or Moscow Center, because it's all the same thing, they said, well, you know, one thing we could do is we can just reduce Germany after World War II into a pre-industrial agrarian economy, just make them all just these serfs working the land. So,
yeah, that didn't turn out too well.
That didn't turn out too well because they needed the industry from the Germans, because the Germans have always been an industrious race. And what I saw, Judith, and I'd like your thoughts on this too, growing up and living through this, you just pointed out how one of the main selling points, if you will, for the EU was security, collective security, so we don't have these ruinous wars anymore, which of course Germany was responsible for, right? And then in order to make that concept really stick embedded into the minds, especially of Europeans, we had the so-called strategy of tension. We had the book by Danielle Glaser, NATO Secret Armies, where you had what's obvious in hindsight to me now, Judith, all of these controlled terrorist groups, the German Red Army faction, Bader Meinhof, the Italian Red Brigades, French Direct Action, all working either under NATO or working for the Soviets. But the end result, and especially also from the German standpoint too, and nobody ever thought about this, Judith, I'd like your thoughts about this too. Why is it that the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, if their intention was to regain their homeland, which was stolen from them, if their intention was to regain their statehood, why would they be doing all these terror attacks in Germany? Why would they be doing all these bank robberies and whatnot? Because at the time, we now know in hindsight that all these splinter groups of the PLO were created and turned loose on Germany, because from an American's perspective, watching the news, it was the PLO did this, the PLO did that, and it was just this impression that was given to us that they're just running amok over there. They're just a horde of terrorists. And Germany, along with all the other homegrown European terrorist groups that were under control, was the battleground for all that.
Mm. Yeah. It may not sit well with a lot of people, but I don't think that the PLO was ever an instrument that really supported the interests of the Palestinians. The way I see them is like ISIS today, which is also a tool that is being used. And I would not even go, oh, it's the Americans, it's the Russians who are doing it. No. Behind that curtain is another curtain, and there they work all together. Yeah. So I don't care if it's KGB or FSB or CIA, it's all one soup at the end of the day. And that is where I see PLO. But doing it in Germany, why? Yeah. I think Israel, of course, plays a part in this. And I'm not saying, oh, it's always the Jews. Because, again, behind the curtain, behind that curtain, they all work together. They are all, it's one big bed, and we are not in it. And yeah, I think it was good for headlines, you know, to install that fear, and to, if it happens, yeah, let's say in Jordan. Yes, it might be reported on, but it will be forgotten the next day. Yeah, but if you have it somewhere where it is more pronounced, then you can harp on it and on and on and on. 9/11. I mean, they traumatized the entire planet with that one. Yeah, and they played these images again and again and again to keep you traumatized for days and weeks. Yeah.
And so you have this interesting dynamic, Judith, where your average American completely out of the loop and just believing what the mainstream media is telling them. And then you have these Europeans, and some of them have legitimate fears because of they've experienced the terrorism, they've seen it. They can only go by, many of them, by what they're being told by the media, by what they're being told by the security services. Also, let's not forget the key role that the Israelis played in creating the German counterintelligence internal security service. The Germans, the Israelis essentially created GSG9, the famous German counterterrorist organization. So we have that dynamic going on where, okay, now we need all this security because all this terrorism has run amok. The wall comes down, reunification, the EU, and now out of all that, and there's a few countries that are pushing back, Judith. Hungary is one, and we're starting to hear from Poland. Now, you know, after 9/11, we're supposed to be afraid of anyone who looks like a Muslim. Take off your shoes. You know, if you're either with us or against us, if you're not against the war, against clash of civilizations, against Islam. Now it's like, oh, you can't complain about Islamics because you're an Islamophobe. It's like the theme was switched. Could you give us your perspective from a German European, what it's like having this unlimited immigration and the impact it's had in your culture?
Mm. Yeah, first they make you believe there's a terrorist sitting under every desk, and then they start flooding you with them. So I found something that Antifa has posted recently. I guess everybody is familiar with Antifa. Yeah, you have them in all countries. So I wrote it down. I had to translate it. But that is what it says in essence. This is how we envision Germany's future: beautiful, colorful, diverse, open, and oriental. From Aachen to Görlitz, from Flensburg to Oberstdorf, there they have this east, west, north, south axis. Oberstdorf, every city and every little village has to undergo a multicultural change towards the Middle East and Africa. Finally, take away the home country from the Germans because they don't deserve one. Okay, that is Antifa for you. And that is what total confusion does to your mind. Then you're running around thinking of yourself as an anti-fascist while your entire attitude, your ideology, is as fascist as it can get. Yeah, I mean, if you're really promoting to annihilate somebody, and that is anti-fascist? No, all it does, it shows that you're a total nut job. But I will say this: all these events, 9/11, and now the mass migration. Yeah, there are these terms that are being used even by the UN. We hear of migration replacement, but a lot of it is being done for our thoughts, emotions, and reactions to it. You know what I mean? Because that is what is going to charge it. And so far, it is working very, very well. And I'm not saying do not pay attention to this one. But you can end up, if you're only researching one topic, two, three topics, then out of the blue, your entire world becomes that. That is your only focus. And more likely than not, you will become paranoid. And if you're paranoid, once that stage is reached, you are no longer useful. You cannot fight back. Because you're in such a low vibrational state that you are running around like a headless chicken. Yeah.
You've just described countless Alex Jones listeners. I don't know if you're familiar with Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist in America, who's got this Zionist connection from here to there. Anyway, all he does is sow hopelessness and fear and despair into his listeners. And now his views are becoming more and more mainstream. So many of his views jibe with what the narratives that are being pushed by these controllers and by these manipulators. It's a bait and switch, right? But a lot of us kind of cottoned on to what Alex Jones was all about. But when someone gets into that low ebb, that low frequency bandwidth, Judy, like you mentioned, their thoughts run away from them. They get paralyzed by fear and indecision. They're no longer creative. They're destructive in many ways in their thoughts and their behaviors. So when we bring up these issues, the mass immigration and all the crime and all the dislocation that results from that, we're looking at it from the standpoint of an intelligence analyst. We're not looking at it from a highly emotionally charged state, because, like, for example, the whole Greta psychodrama, Judith, that's all emotionally driven, right?
Okay, yeah, okay, sure. There are so many layers to these events, you know, and there are so many people that are filling their coffers while it is going on. you have human trafficking connected to that, or what I call the blood market. And with the human trafficking comes organ harvesting, comes forced labor, prostitution, child abuse, child trafficking, child soldiers, ritual abuse. There is no end to the layers. And if you get stuck on that, oh, we are going to be annihilated, they are wiping out the white race. If they can make you believe that, it will happen.
I don't see it happening anytime soon because, from an American perspective, the countless Americans that have firearms, that know how to use them, that are woodsmen, that have spent all their life hunting, fishing, living in the countryside, and many of them know what's going on or have a good idea, they're not giving up their firearms. It doesn't matter how many false flags, no matter how many mass shootings they conduct, they're never going to give up their firearms. And
they don't have to.
And they don't have to. It's their right.
And they have, we have sound weapons. We saw with the torching of in California where they burnt down whole areas.
The directed energy or whatever it was.
What are you going to do with your funny gun?
Yeah.
If they torch your area, what are you going to shoot at? Nobody is worried about the guns. That is just another humiliation if they try to do that, go from door to door and confiscate them. That is just for humiliation. They're not worried about that.
No, they're not. Because like you pointed out, they can simply just burn everyone out. And you look at the they call them wildfires. And Judith, some of the official stories that came in the media would just make your head spin. Oh, this car was driving along. The rim of the car created a spark and created this huge conflagration. And then when you look at the video, that cars were melted, houses were reduced to a little thin layer of ashes. And in some of the business parks, people had drones fly over with video cams. And they showed that, this store was annihilated. This store was annihilated. All the trees in the parking lot are still intact, right? So something happened. And so that's a very good point, that there's no point in being fearful that they're going to come door to door and take your guns, because if they wanted to get rid of you, that's one way they could do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the whole idea is just to induce never-ending fear and put us in a state where we're afraid to think, we're afraid to voice our opinions. Now, while we're on that subject, I know in the rest of the West, at least in America and Australia, people have already been conditioned to pause before they say or think anything, even think anything, because of the mind control, the mass mind control, the political correctness. How have you seen that play out in Germany? Because we pointed out earlier that the Germans have been the most vilified, demonized people. Antifa said they don't even deserve to have their own country. Mm. How have you, especially amongst the young, the millennials and the younger, I don't know how often you get around them, but what are they like?
Not too often, I have to say. But one thing is for sure, and I think that hasn't changed. When I went to school, the entire era of, let's call it the Hitler era, World War II era, and especially the Holocaust, the concentration camps, blah, 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 blah. I did that thing twice. And by that, I mean, we were indoctrinated with that for 6 months. And then the next year, another 6 months, the whole story again. And I'm pretty sure that is what is happening today as well. So it is very important to them to have this guilt-shame dynamic. You better shut up and you swallow everything what we throw at you because you were evil. No, you weren't even born then. Yeah, that was not your decision. That was nothing where you participated in. So that is still going on here. And even these that I don't have a TV, but sometimes people who do have a TV, they report to me that even on TV, they are showing these documentaries, how horrible we are, and that has never, it should never happen again. And that is why we have to be now multicultural and we have to accept everything. And don't you dare to say a word. And if you do, right away you're a Nazi. Yeah. But even that gets old after a while. My neighbors here, they're saying, I can't hear that anymore. That whenever somebody says, yeah, but maybe we could look at this from that perspective, Nazi. people are getting tired of it. They have to come up with something new.
The concept of the multiculturalism, and now we have these no-go zones. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us what these no-go zones are like, because not even first responders, ambulances, police even in many cases don't go to these places. Mm-hmm. And that is a direct result of the unlimited mass immigration.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line is you don't show up there. Because that is like a state in a state. We have, for instance, in Berlin, there are huge areas where Arab clans, they rule. They run the whole show. And no, police will not show up there. And if they do, they get clobbered. So bottom line is you stay away there, which is, yeah. It's sad that all of a sudden you have areas in your country where you are not supposed to go.
What we've seen in Australia, when there's been these flash mobs of Sudanese and Somalis, and there's video of this, and the media spins it out, oh, this is just racism, people complaining about this, it's fake news. But you see the videos of them running amok, like hordes of them, and just thrashing, public and private property, going into stores and destroying things and stealing things. What happens oftentimes is the police get stood down, and they actually vacate the area. And then what's come out in the media in Victoria, the state of Victoria and the city of Melbourne in particular, the police chief says, or a spokesperson for the police says, they conducted a tactical withdrawal, and then they left the place and allowed these flash mobs to continue their activities unmolested. And then you contrast that with how anyone else can get harassed by the police at any time, beaten up, tased, shot. In America, the cops over there are just shooting people willy-nilly. They're more dangerous than terrorists. And now you have these Somalis winding up in American police departments shooting people, right? So what we're seeing is this bizarre dichotomy where after 9/11, it's all about security, where you're either with us or against us. These woo-woo terrorists, they hate us for our freedoms. So all the security, all the CCTV cameras, they're all justified, Judith. And then they do a bait and switch, do the unlimited immigration, and then they say that we're Islamophobes, we're racist, if we don't go along with all this immigration and all the crime that comes with it. There are efforts right now to bring more African migrants to Australia. They're having open discussions about it in the media. And I remember last year, I read the story, Judith, about how in a lot of these big festivals and a lot of these big celebration times, like New Year's or Christmas or whatever the case may be, where large numbers of people congregate in the streets and party and celebrate, suddenly you have these black or Muslim flash mobs that show up and they cause problems. This occurred at a music festival or something, if memory serves. These immigrants are harassing this white girl, and then these people, they stood up for them, right? These Germans, males, stood up for this girl, and the German male wind up getting stabbed to death, which is actually, from what I understand, quite common. And then what happens is, when the people in the small town protest,
Nazis.
They're Nazis. They're neo-Nazis.
Yeah. And that is all to drive you nuts, to make you crazy. They would love to see, they start with the confusion. They start with the anger, with the fear. And then what they would love to see is the clashes. Yeah. Both groups finishing each other off in the streets. Oh, they would love that. They would love that. That would charge their agenda so much. Ah, wonderful. Yeah.
They're trying to stoke the flames of a civil war in America. Trump is the perfect lightning rod for this, because you had all the years of the Bushes, you had Clinton, and then you had Obama, and that's where so much of the cultural Marxism and the race baiting came into play, where if you complained about Obama at all, everyone complains about presidents. It's an American tradition. Oh, you can't complain about Obama because that makes you a racist. And so you have all this other cultural Marxist stuff come in the wake of that. And now they put this guy, Trump, in. Just about every key person in his administration, his own, his son-in-law, his wife. I mean, they're all, you know, either Israelis or Israeli dual citizens or Zionists, right? But he's supposed to make America great again. He's going to build a wall that's going to keep the immigrants out, even though it's the legal immigration that's causing all the problems. It's not just, you know, the relatively small number of people who sneak across the borders. So now they're setting the stage for a civil war, and they're using Trump as this perfect lightning rod for criticism. He's this unstable Gemini who's always putting out all these tweets and stuff to inflame the passions of everybody. From your perspective in Europe, what's it like looking at the psychodrama in America with Trump?
Okay. I do not represent the general opinion. There are a lot of people here that like Trump, but I have to say they still think there is a solution within the system. And they honestly believe if they vote differently, things will change. That means they haven't even pierced the first veil of the labyrinth. Yeah, so no, nothing will change if you vote differently. That's just an illusion to keep you running around. And I don't care what it is, if it's here AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, which means alternative for Germany. Many are going head over heels. That's a similar dynamic as with Trump in America. It's a stage. All the world is a stage. And Trump was put in there to finish the dismantling. And that is what people do not get. And I know it is not very popular to say that, but as long as you are stuck in a savior program, that somebody will come and solve it for you, you're a fool. And we have saviors on the political scene, in religion, we have them in the financial world, blah, 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 blah. There's no end to saviors. Oh, and the good aliens will come and whisk us away. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, that was what we talked about earlier. That was part of the big appeal of the EU. It's going to be a savior. It's going to first protect us from the godless Bolsheviks so they can't invade. And then they just did the invasion a different way through laws and through legal manipulation. That's how they did that, right? And I've often wondered if any of these like CIA operatives over the years, Judith, who spent all this time in Latin America and other countries subverting all these nation states in the name of fighting communism, right? When they were really just working for these corporations anyway, if some of them have enough conscience and enough soul left where they look around, they say, well, the USA is now communist, Great Britain is now communist. And then I went to all these countries in Guatemala and just committed all these atrocities to fight the communists. It's a crazy, crazy dynamic at work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And what makes me especially angry is at the end of the day, I would love to see a world without borders, but not that one. Yeah. Not the one that they are shoveling down your throat, creating chaos and havoc and fighting over low-paid jobs with the immigrants and what have you, everything that comes along with it. No, not that one. But yes, and that is why I'm very angry about this, because they are selling an inverted idea. The idea is good, but it has to be a natural process. It has to come out of consciousness, not from a political, this is how it's going to be and that is what we're going to do. No. That will not work. And they know it.
Yes. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong, Judith, with the concept of a world government with nation states underneath it. As long as, well, it's not these ruling elite bloodlines that are in charge, that are behind all these crimes and behind all these wars. And then if they can work it out so, you know, private property and personal freedoms and economic freedoms are maintained, sure, that's, I don't want to say it's kind of a utopian ideal. I don't want to say it's kind of a Pollyanna kind of mindset that, oh, and that's the part of the problem, like you pointed out, Judith, is that it's an ideal that many can aspire to. World peace, mm-hmm. we're all one big, happy, multicultural family. But it's a complete inversion of what's going on. They're using all of these ideals, save the environment, for example, mm-hmm. as a means to assert more and more control, extract more and more of the life essence out of all these people. Now, in the few minutes we got in the first half, first segment, Judith, and thanks so much for coming on. It's been very enlightening discussion. Where do you see the EU going? I think they're going to continually stall out the Brexit thing with Great Britain. They'll stall that out until kingdom come. We do see some pushback. Hungary, other countries are starting to say, you know, no more to this unlimited immigration. How do you see this playing out in the EU scheme of things?
In the short term, it will get tougher and tighter. In the long run, it will fall apart. There's no way around that. Because at the end of the day, evil will never persist. It will not persist. And that is why I would like to say it's, you know, strengthen your good relationship that you have with people. Stop investing in people that do not like to invest in you. And I'm not talking money here. I'm talking time, attention, and caring. In general, we have this habit that we invest so much energy into our dysfunctional relationships. And don't step away. Just let it go. Let them do what they do, not your circus. Surround yourself with supporting people, because when push comes to shove, we only will have each other. There is nothing to run to, no governmental organization or whatever. So I would say, know yourself, have good relationships, maintain them, establish good friendships, maintain them. And that takes effort. It does not fall from the trees. Yeah, so do that. And in the long run, it will fall apart. I don't see it being there for forever. Mm-mm, that will not happen.
There's too many cracks. In Spain, mm-hmm. there was a separatist yeah. movement, you know, even the big city of Barcelona and that part of Spain, they wanted, you know, to disengage and didn't want any more part of this. And then they had to forcefully keep them in and install their puppets again and everything else. So we're seeing a lot of pushback. And also, mm-hmm. you know, from all the crime and all the violence, all the widespread arson and fires that go up all over France and different places, you know, people are starting to realize, well, if the EU is all about collective security, they're not doing a very good job of it. Right. So, you know, that's a very good point, Judith, because that's one thing we can control. We can control and determine who we interact with, who we exchange and who we, you know, spend our time with, which is so important these days. Anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with Judith Quoba. Judith, can you tell our listeners how they can find your work on the internet?
Yeah, I just have a YouTube channel. The website is not up yet, and it's called Night Flight.
And we'll be sure to have the link to Judith's YouTube channel on our own website as well as our dedicated YouTube channel. We've reached the end of the first segment with Judith Quoba. This is James Bartley. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.